The state of Georgia is overhauling its child welfare program. There is little consensus on the best course of action or even role models that Georgia can follow. But after two high-profile deaths in the system last year, state leaders are forging ahead anyway. NPR's Ari Shapiro has a report now on why state leaders are optimistic about reform and some local officials are not.
Chandler Bridges has seen a lot of people try to fix Georgia's child welfare system, and he's watched every one of them fail. Bridges is a public defender at the DeKalb County Juvenile Court. He represents parents who have dropped their babies, starved their kids nearly to death, or worse. He knows just how broken Georgia's system is, and he believes no one will ever be able to fix it.
Well, the government is not a very good parent. That's the problem. Never have been.
He calls his career misery management. Bridges says child neglect and abuse have been happening since biblical times, and he shrugs at bureaucrats who believe they can do anything about it.
If they have answers, why do we keep having the same problems? You know, it has something to do with man's general nature, I think. We tend to be rebellious.
Bruce Cook and Janet Oliva intend to prove Bridges wrong. Cook chairs Georgia's Human Resources Department, and Oliva directs the state's Division of Family and Children's Services. Georgia's Republican Governor Sonny Perdue appointed them to overhaul Georgia's child welfare program after two kids in the system died over the summer. Cook and Oliva sit in a conference room of a skyscraper overlooking the Georgia landscape, where more than 20,000 kids are now in the state's care.
We're basically trying to say no amount of barrier will stop us from providing the kind of child protective services and the kind of services that I think Georgians really want.
Cook knows there's a lot that doesn't work in Georgia's child welfare system. He and Oliva just plunged in to fix it. First, they started gathering statistics so the state would know where the situation was worst. They invested in a new computer system for caseworkers, and they've moved hundreds of staffers from the central office out into the field. Cook says his team is actively soliciting other creative solutions.
The idea is that no idea is a bad idea if you're trying to figure out how to help children.
There are just so many ideas. Nobody can agree on one. People vehemently argue that what the state needs most is a tracking database, or caseworker pay raises, or training. Tracy Wynn is an example of where the rest of the state wants to be. She's a caseworker in Newton County. Wynn has a relatively low caseload and an attentive supervisor. Every day, she sees the effect that a good caseworker can have on a troubled family.
How are you, bud? Are you doing good today? Fine.
Good.
Hello.
Are you home today?
Today, she's visiting a family outside the town of Covington. The mother, Teresa, lives with six children and her fiancé. The 13-year-old just had a baby. Child welfare was called in on a report that the infant was being neglected. Teresa says it was a false report.
There was no neglection here. There's no abusement. We get along fine. We have our good days and our bad days.
She says she was devastated when she found out her daughter was pregnant, but they resolved to get through it.
And it hurt me so bad. I said, what are we going to do with a baby right now? I said, you know I'm going through financial problems. I said, I'm struggling as it is, trying to make ends meet. I said, then here you is with a baby.
Wynn believes that Teresa's a good mother.
I know, I've told you, you're doing a wonderful job and you're being very supportive and you're helping your children. And you're doing a great job at that. And we're just going to give you some added tools, you know, to help you keep doing a great job.
Every time Wynn visits a home, she makes a decision that's at the core of the child welfare system, whether or not to remove children from their family. It's a choice that could sometimes make the difference between life and death or between tearing a family apart and keeping it together. Regardless of the policies that bureaucrats implement, this is where the crucial decisions take place. Wynn says her philosophy is always the same.
I let my families know that, you know, they can expect honesty from me and I'll be straightforward and honest with them in what is going on, which helps you to build your rapport with the family so that you can work with the family.
And Wynn's rapport with Teresa is strong. It's a relationship that couldn't exist if Wynn weren't committed to staying in her job or if her caseload was unmanageably large. Driving back from the visit, Wynn's supervisor, Evelyn Norman, said the job can be nearly impossible with the caseloads in some other Georgia counties.
I don't care how good you are, how long you've been a case manager. If you've got two people's job to do, you cannot do it. If you've got three people's job, you can't do it even less.
Norman says her office runs effectively, but even in the best child welfare system, she says, perfection is an impossible goal.
Every caseworker that I know, and I know a lot of them, lives with the fear that they will miss something. I lived with that in 1980 when I became a caseworker, and it's still there. And being human, you are going to miss some. And it's horrible to live with that, but it is part of our job, everybody's job that works in social services.
For that reason, she says, there will be deaths in any child welfare program, and any reform process has to account for that. Andrew Barkley sees places like Newton County, where Tracy Wynn and Evelyn Norman work, and he wonders why the rest of Georgia is so far behind. Barkley is founder and chair of the Barton Child Law and Policy Center at Emory University.
We have some counties that are spending 7 or 8 times what other counties are spending on their foster care children. Something's wrong with that system. Some counties here in Georgia can get a child adopted from removal from the home to adoption in 1.5 years. Huge differences. Some of our counties take 10 years.
One problem may be that child welfare reform is not a popular political goal. Georgia's Governor Sonny Perdue was the rare politician who made it a highlight of his campaign anyway. Perdue himself had been a foster parent, and that gives Democratic State Senator Mary Margaret Oliver hope. But she wonders how long the momentum will last now that the children who died over the summer are no longer in the news.
The political realities for somebody running for office is that they're not going to choose to campaign on "I will end violence in the home of Georgia." There are things that are easy to do in politics and easy to take credit for. Making children safer in their homes is a very difficult, very elusive political goal.
It may be out of the politicians' hands, because Georgia is currently defending itself from a class action lawsuit alleging that the state's child welfare system does not keep children safe. Similar suits have been the impetus for change elsewhere in the country. Ira Burnham oversaw many of Alabama's child welfare reforms as legal director of the Bazelon Center for Mental Health Law.
It's very rare indeed that any elected official would welcome a lawsuit and hopes to be sued and under court order. I think that many public officials find, however, after going through a lawsuit, that there were many ways in which their agency was helped.
Some analysts say lawsuits have a higher success rate than legislation because court orders don't come up for re-election the way politicians do. Most child welfare advocates in Georgia don't seem to care whether change comes about through legislation or through a court order. They just want the system fixed before another highly publicized tragedy makes the state decide to scrap its plans and start over yet again. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Atlanta.